Hello, everyone, and thanks for tuning in to the Guardian Hub podcast. We talk about Destiny and experiences in the game, and we like to spotlight different guests and communities. We want to be a place to talk about uplifting experiences we've had. I am Kingsley, and with me as always, I have Sin. How are you doing, Sin?
Hello, I am fairly well.
Fairly well. Fairly well is always good. That's better than well, I assume, and not as good as the best well.
Or not as good as magical. I mean, who are we kidding?
Yeah. Well, any kind of well is good. And we have a special guest tonight, Mr. Link Sen. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Oh, I'm good.
I am not magical either, but I am good.
Oh, I'm good. I'm glad to have you on. Yeah, Mr. Link Sen. You know, I wanted to start to first ask you, I mean, I kind of want to ask about how you got into Destiny also, but how'd you come up with your gamer tag?
I was thinking the same thing. I was going to hit him with that.
Yeah. It's kind of funny because it's really not funny at all. in fact, it's almost irritating sometimes. But basically, when I first got on, you know, PlayStation Network, my PS3, and I was making one, I just wanted sort of a retro gaming reference because I was older than a lot of the other gamers around. And then the whole Sen thing... basically, I don't really recall where I came up with it exactly, other than that I had come up with this sort of thought or found somewhere that it was a Japanese word for some sort of mythical forest creature that I cannot find any reference to anymore to back that up. So I could have imagined it or made it up. I don't know, but that's where I thought it was, or where came up with it. Yeah. And since then, I've thought about changing it a couple times. If PSN ever actually allows that for real, for everybody. But as it is what it is. So it's not too bad. I've gotten used to it.
Now, what would you change it to since you opened up Pandora's box if you had a choice?
Well, as of right now, that's a tough decision. I don't know. I do like Link. I've gotten used to it. I've, you know, generally in my gaming world known as Link. So I get, you know, that's just kind of my name.
Now, Link is the princess and Zelda's the main character, right?
well, I mean, I am kind of a princess, but no.
I'm pretty sure I heard his new name is That's a Tough Decision. So whenever he makes it, that's going to be his name. That's a Tough Decision.
Actually, that's not bad. I kind of like that.
You're welcome.
But did you play all the old Zelda games?
A little bit. I actually never completed one. I was, as far as NES goes, which is where I started with Atari, I guess, but my main thing was, aside from like, you know, obviously Super Mario Brothers, everybody hadn't played that for the most part. I played the Goonies 2. Do you recall that game?
I mean,
most
no.
people don't. It was actually.
I mean, I'm old, but no, I don't remember that yeah. game.
I didn't know they had a it game, is, let alone two.
Well, that's there was not a first one. It was presented as a sequel to the movie, that's why it was The Goonies 2. But it was vaguely RPG-ish. It's really sort of a more of a, you know, NES. There's only so much you could do in the straight RPG class, but. You know, you go along the way and you get different weapons, and the map in that thing was really complicated. There was a lot of like forwards and backwards and like three-dimensional things that they did that were hard to convey. So I had, you know, drawn out handwritten maps, and I had to save the mermaid, you know, that was the big deal. You had to save the mermaid. So I don't know. I really like the Goonies. It's one of my all-time favorite movies. So
that's always a good one.
I really like the game. Sure. Yeah. So I don't know. That's that was the thing I played the most. And I also, just with my particular situation, the NES that we had was at my dad's house. I stayed at my mom's house, and we did not have a console there. So I didn't get to play like all the time. I actually did not game as much throughout my younger years as I would have given the opportunity. I might be a wholly different person had I had that opportunity. So, I don't know. It's kind of weird.
How'd you get into Destiny?
Well, when I did get more back into gaming as an adult, I took a couple years between my PS3 and PS4 because my PS3 died or quit reading discs, at least while I was in the military deployed. I had it with me out there, but you know, it's not the best environment for electronics. So that's not a huge surprise. But, when I got back into it, I started playing Call of Duty again, which was kind of my main thing in my adult years. And it was terrible. I was really bad. But I like the idea of a competitive game where you have a team and everybody works together and has to, you know, the call outs and the map knowledge and the kind of the more, the deeper meta game of competitive games. I really enjoyed that. It's just a good experience, even if I'm not the greatest. You know, at the very least, I'm a set of eyes that can call out to the rest of the team or whatever. Anyway, so I was trying to find people to play with because I realized that that was what I wanted to do, is play more as a team and play, you know, not seriously, but more seriously. And so I was, you know, on Reddit and came across Reddit Tryhard, which was a Call of Duty clan from the, like, the Clan Wars days where they had, I think that was Ghosts, Call of Duty Ghosts, and they had actual Clan Wars within the, I guess, the ecosystem of the game, which I was not playing during that time. But anyway, so there was a Call of Duty clan, and I just messaged them on Reddit and joined up with them. And anyway, sorry, long story short, I guess, a couple of those guys were big Destiny fans as well. And when Destiny 2 was getting ready to come out, they were all, you know, trying to tie up their Destiny 1 things and complete their Grimoire score and all that sort of thing. And I was like, well, I'm going to play Destiny with these guys. It sounds fun. Because it wasn't what I had never really realized what kind of game it was. I thought it was just sort of a, you know, weird sci-fi game or something. So I started playing Destiny 1 at the end of the life cycle of that game with them. And then Destiny 2 launched and we all played together a lot. And it was great fun. And I did, I think, 2 Leviathan clears and thought it was the greatest thing ever. And then they all quit because it was boring to them at that point. Because, you know, year one Destiny 2 was, for people coming from Destiny 1, quite a disappointment. For me, it was just loads of fun. But
I get it both ways. Yeah, about some people saying it was a disappointment and others still having fun.
Yeah.
Now, I believe we found you through the Destiny Reset Discord.
Mm-hmm.
So did you just start, is that kind of how you started branching out, finding other people to play with?
Yeah. I, after a while, also quit playing Destiny 2 because I didn't have anybody to play with. So I did not play during the Curse of Osiris or Warmind expansions, but a buddy of mine, I guess one of my guys that I played with was playing some during the Solstice of Triumphs, or right before that, I guess, he was streaming. So I was, you know, popped into his stream and was like, oh, wow, this looks fun. He's like, yeah, there's all this stuff to do now. So I was like, well, I'm gonna jump in. I'm going to start playing again. So I got in there and I started playing, and he didn't really keep it up. He just had a baby and things, and, you know, life is, when you're at that stage in life, it's difficult to play a game like Destiny consistently. And so he's not been really consistent on there still. But I got back into it during the Solstice of Triumphs and was like, oh my God, there's so much to do now. Plus, I had this whole like deadline of completing all the Solstice Triumphs, you know, before the end of the season in the next year and so on. Just fell in love with it again. I was like, oh my God, I don't care who I'm playing with or if I'm playing by myself. There's all the stuff to do. And it just, I think at that time too, I was just kind of getting burned out on Call of Duty a little bit. It just really kind of filled that space that I wanted in my gaming at the time. Boy, it got its hooks in me really good. And I kept with it into the beginning of Forsaken, and the Forsaken was amazing comparatively. And I really haven't looked back. I started getting more into it, and I was looking into the podcasts and things like, maybe there's a podcast I can listen to about Destiny, you know. You know, found a few, kind of listened around, and they talked about their Discords, and I kind of lurked in a couple of those. And the Reset group was probably the best as far as that goes, as far as what it seemed like. They had a good activity, and it was multiple levels of investment amongst the different players and different kinds of players. You had PvP guys, you had people looking for raids and so on. So then I had a couple of those, you know, somebody was offering, or maybe I don't remember, qualified, just said, hey, I'd like to do a raid sometime if somebody could help me.
Yeah. Oh, and we love the Destiny Reset group. For any of those listening to this podcast that found us and aren't aware of the Destiny Reset podcast, a great, great Destiny podcast, probably been around the longest, and they have a great Discord also. pretty much we're all from there, have roots there originally. And
right.
Yeah.
That seems to be a going theme for a lot of people coming from DRP. Also, Link, earlier you said you were deployed.
Yes.
And first I want to say thank you for your service. I don't think I got to say that earlier, but there's not enough appreciation out there for those in military. I had never personally served, but I do appreciate what you've done there.
Ah, well, I appreciate that. You know, it's a job. It's a thing to do. It's got its ups and its downs, and it's kind of fun. Kind of sucks. But it was a good experience, mostly.
Good.
Well, and I know that Sin and I have played with you a lot, and we'll go into some of those discussions of, like, interesting things that have happened. Yeah, that's great to hear about your history and getting into Destiny, and we all have similar stories there. But first, I'd like to mention, I don't believe this was mentioned before, Sin, do you have a special title with your Destiny name these days?
Oh, yeah. I actually didn't put that down as something to talk about. But Link, Kingsley were there through this journey. I finally ended up getting Osprey after nightfalls. And I think, I started 4 weeks ago. They had it like 2 weeks in a row, Strange Terrain. Then Strange Terrain wasn't there for a week. And then it finally came back. And I finally got the Osprey to drop. So I'm now an official Wayfarer.
Yay.
So that is super exciting.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I had some people say at points, you know, maybe some recommendations during these title hunts, some things that a lot of people are missing. And for me, the two big things that I was really missing for Wayfarer was the Osprey and the Frigid Jackal. My recommendation with the Frigid Jackal, after doing a lot of research, is doing your resonance stems once per day. So any of the Braytech items that come from that particular drop, you do your resonance stems once per day until you get a schematic, and then you stop grinding that out for the day. Then the Nightfall is really just a hardcore grind of Nightfall after Nightfall. I've seen some people recommend getting your score over 100, wearing the emblem, and I've done all that, but it still took me 30, 40, maybe Nightfalls before I actually got it to drop. So super frustrating. It is a grind, but it's just a dedication of doing it over and over. So those are my recommendations for those particular items if you are missing them. There are a lot of great resources out there to look at. And I'll give as many recommendations as I can as I see them or people ask for them.
Yeah, it's hard. And sometimes there's voodoo too. Like when you're going for those Braytech weapons, I've heard all sorts of things like, oh, you only want to open one. Oh, what's the thing again when you get being able to open to get a weapon? And then it's still RNG you mentioned or
the schematic.
The schematic.
Yeah.
Some people
the resonance
say,
stems.
Yeah, the resonance stems at first, but then you'll get a schematic after that. But some people say only open one schematic a day because supposedly it'll always be the same one of that day. I don't know if these things are true or not, but basically the long
plus
story.
The schematics can only drop like one a day too, from what I read. So it's only basically doing one. Otherwise, you're going to spend hundreds of resonance stems after that, and you may or may not get a schematic. So it was best practice to do enough resonance stems to get your schematic and then be done for today and then do it again the next day after reset.
Mm-hmm. So the moral of the story is Bungie Destiny could do a better job of giving some instruction on what the details are, but at least for those that aren't even sure at all, you can at least get a general idea of what you need to do by going into your menus and looking at those titles and then going into them. And you basically need everything checked off. And if there's a certain thing that's not checked off, you're not sure about, just do an internet search on it, see what others are saying. And chances are the group collaborative will be mostly correct and can tell you the best way to get it.
Yeah. I'm actually always amazed at the Bungie voodoo that people decipher sometimes on, you know, when, because I know there's a whole thing about like what time the memory fragments or whatever the, not the memory fragments, what are they called? Anyway, the things that you do, that you go open up to get the drops after you get your resonant stems.
Sleeper nodes.
Oh, yeah.
The sleeper nodes. Thank you. That like they reset at a certain time of day, which I know that everything, I know some of the vendors have weird timed resets that don't go with like the world reset and everything. And there's so much that goes into all that stuff that, that Bungie never tells you, and people just figure this stuff out. It's amazing to me sometimes. Yeah, for Bungie sure. could definitely do a little bit better job with making some things a little more clear.
Right.
It's almost like they don't know.
I got lucky on mine. No.
We had a lot of fun doing some raids and things this week. I don't know if there's anything particular we want to talk about. One quick thing that I kind of wanted to talk about was like going through the raids. It's quite a different experience each time, as we all know. This week, I personally did a couple Scourge of the Past raids and one Leviathan raid. We did a Scourge of the Past raid where we barely passed it, and we were kind of like, at least I was, you know, kind of stumbling along, and we're doing okay, but you know, it's one of those things where like, okay, we barely pass it, right? And then we had another Scourge of the Past experience last night where we were kind of, we LFG'd some people, but they were basically Sherpas because they had gone through it many times and were able to help us out. And I'll tell a little bit more about that in a second. And then also I did a Leviathan for someone who had never passed it before. And it actually ended up being three people who had never passed it. And that went well also, but it was also a different experience where I love to raid so much, so I'm in different experiences, and sometimes people are Sherping me, and other times I Sherpa people, and it's fun, and it's just an experience that you kind of get to help others out. The Leviathan raid, I haven't been in there for a long time. Things started coming back to me where the thing about Leviathan is I feel more so than almost any other raid, even though it's fairly easy for us that have run it a million times these days, is that when you're running new people through, sometimes it's good to kind of see what their strengths are and where you can move them around and kind of say like, okay, let's move some people to this position versus that position. And I thought it was pretty cool because I know a lot of times the Sherpas will do that with me too, like, you know, when we're going to different raids.
Yeah, playing to people's strengths is huge, especially in a counter where you're basically relying on everybody in the team to do a certain job. So it's huge. Just playing it over and over helps too. Like you said with Leviathan, for me, going back to Leviathan now, you know, I kind of relate it to riding a bike. We used to do it every week, sometimes multiple times per week. And we had a rhythm and we were bringing one or two people through that had never done it. And going back now, it's, you know, haven't done it in so long, maybe like one in the last 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I'm excited to jump back into that every now and again and just keep doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. I was really enjoying explaining and going through the gauntlet room again, because I could really see how doing it the different ways of doing the rotating method versus the stationary method and the pluses and minuses theirs, and kind of how, like, I feel like the stationary method is better for people to learn in the long run, even though it may be a little more complicated to explain at first. And I do know that if you're running Prestige, the stationary method is usually how people run it. So it takes more upfront to learn it that way, but it's always better. Or you can run the rotation method that's easier to learn at first. And then whether people should run versus doing the shooting outside. It's just, I guess what I was saying too, is like Leviathan, I'd gotten to a point where I was getting bored of it, but it was fun to pop in it again. You know, time passes and then you're like, oh yeah, this raid isn't bad, especially when you're bringing some new people through.
Right.
I enjoyed it.
How many times have you done Leviathan, Link, approximately?
Four as of yesterday. That was my fourth time going through. So not a whole lot. It's funny because I get in there and I feel like I don't remember how to do this at all. And then as I go through it, I'm like, oh, it's starting to come back a little bit. And I kind of, you know, you wipe a couple times and it starts to gel.
Mm-hmm.
in my brain, at least. Maybe not for everybody, but you know, it takes a while to get everybody on the same page. But yeah, it was a good time.
Yeah.
If there wasn't all the other things to do in the game, I would just raid basically all day on the weekend, like Saturday, kind of my main day to play. You know, I would just raid all day. I'd do all of them multiple times.
Well, obviously I like to raid. A lot of people know that about me. So I hear what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
When we went to that Scourge raid last night, I felt a little intimidated because I'd only passed it officially two times, and I felt like both times I'd kind of stumbled through.
Mm-hmm.
You found some people through LFG, and then I saw when we were sitting in orbit that they had on their emblems like 20 mm-hmm. passes, 20 clears for Scourge.
Yeah.
So they were pretty cool. They were able to help us through and teach us some things that we didn't even know that helped it go smoother.
Yeah, it was a fast run for us, for sure.
Yeah.
I was a little concerned at first when we first got them all into the party chat, and it was like, I don't know what these guys are going to be like, just because, I don't know. It seemed a little, I don't know the right word to use to describe it, but yeah, it wasn't quite what I was, you know, hoping for as far as their personality seemed at first. But then once we got in there, it just, it's all about the raid, and it was a good time.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what I was going to say too. Like, you never know when you're doing LFG, and most of the time it works out good. So I do want to say, you know, in the community, there's, I'd say, a greater than 50% chance if you do an LFG that the people will be cool. And if not, just don't be afraid to just bring something up and say like, hey, you know, this isn't working for us. And then if it, something else happens again, you can always just leave. You don't have to suffer through it either. But they were a cool group for sure.
Yeah. Good time.
Awesome.
Well, what else was interesting this week? I remember we, Link, didn't we get you your Wheel of Fortune?
Yes, we did. Yeah, that was good. That was fun. Because it just makes such a difference having four people all working on it, having the goal of, you know, doing it without the whole flawless and whatever. It was fun. I like the Reckoning as it is anyway. And I even enjoy it with blueberries, but it's, you know, it's so much better just having a team of people working together. That's what I would think I like most about gaming and Destiny in particular.
And we'll go with Kingsley Strat with no game. Titans. We'll just go with no Titans.
Yes. Right. I mean, last night,
you know, I've seen a Bubble Titan in there do some work though. Sentinel Shield is also pretty strong on the Reckoning.
Oh,
so
yeah. It's, oh yeah.
You can have a Titan these days if you really want. I mean, you got to have at least the well Warlock and at least one Tether Hunter. And then ideally another Warlock or another Hunter. But
yeah.
You could have up to two Titans and still pass it.
Yes. I think that the Tether Hunter might be the most important, of course. But I mean,
that's just, nice to have for the orb generation. And you have that Hunter. You have a Tether Hunter with Orpheus on. You can do some work.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I am a hunter main as well, so, you know, whatever, but yeah, it's a good time. It's good fun.
I like the encounter. I do want to say one quick thing about Reckoning. I had a lot of hope for it, and I'm at the point now where I'm kind of like most of the magic is worn off. I still enjoy wearing it, going into the Reckoning, especially with people who need some help with it. So let's talk about this. I was so intrigued with the different endings, and especially how one ending is the shadow or the fake version of Oryx.
The likeness, yeah.
Likeness of Oryx. Like, where are they going with that? Is it just a little like they didn't mean much, and it's just like, oh, we'll just throw this fun thing in here. I just wish there was more. Is the lore going to tell us more of why that was happening, or will there be more instances of Oryx things leading up to Savathun? And also what I'm saying is I wish there was a third or a fourth. You know, we were kind of speculating, will there be a secret tier four? Mm-hmm. Any thoughts on all that?
I have some thoughts. I don't know if Sin, if you have anything, but...
I'll let you take this one, Link. Go for it.
Okay, yeah.
Take it away, sir.
Well, speaking of the lore, that's kind of a new thing for me. Like, it's always been of interest, but not something that I felt I had the time to even delve into. And I still don't read every lore card on every, or lore tab on every item I pick up or whatever, you know. But I do, going back to, you know, Destiny podcasts, I've been listening to the Focus Fire chat, which takes a very scholarly approach to a lot of it, which I was pretty impressed by. And then, you know, I'll spend a little bit of time with Ishtar Collective and read the lore there sometimes. You know, I know that I saw a YouTube notification. My Island Games has a video up about the new Invitation of the Nine for this week. And so it's saying that it explains, you know, what the Nine are all about, basically. And I have not watched it because I haven't finished that quest step yet, and I want to see it for myself. I can see at the very least, as far as the likeness of Oryx within the Reckoning, you know, the whole thing is supposed to be a test of our guardian by the Nine. At least that's how it's presented to us. So the likeness of Oryx, to me, you know, it's something that they've essentially created that, you know, is there to test us. And we know that, or they know that Oryx was arguably one of our biggest tests in the past as far as real, or, you know, I say real, but as far as what we've encountered within the game in the past. And so it makes sense to me that that would be a good way to test Guardians. Obviously, you start getting into things there where the player Guardian is obviously is you as one person, but at the same time, there are other Guardians in the world. And so it's kind of a weird narrative that they have to work around to account for you, the player, being the Guardian, and at the same time, all these Guardians around you in the same world and what they're doing. So, but that being said, I feel like it's basically a way to test the Guardians, and that that would be what the likeness of Oryx is. But that being said, I do think that Bungie is kind of steering us back towards, well, they've been hinting at Savathun for a while, so I think it's just kind of little bits here and there, maybe for Destiny 3 or whatever comes next year, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But that's basically my thoughts on it. Keep it shorter and simple. I don't want to keep talking too much.
It'll be interesting with this season to see if there's any other kind of, I'm not saying there has to be any other big secrets that come out. It would be certainly helpful, like some great hidden quest, kind of like Whisper of the Worm.
Yes.
At some point, I would hope either during the season or next season that something like that was added. And all these invitations on the Nine are great. And I know we still have Arc Week and the Revelry, but I kind of feel like this season, is there something like we big that we don't know yet, even though they've told us a lot in a way? I hope, you know, we'll see what happens.
I hope so. Yeah. I always hope for big things like that.
Yeah.
We all hope for the big things.
Yeah.
Especially the, like a secret quest like Whisper. I wasn't playing during that time, and I just would really have loved to have been around when that was active and being discovered for the first time. That sounds super exciting and fun. I'd love stuff like that. Just, I'd eat it up.
Oh yeah. That was quite the time. I remember just it blowing up on all the Reddits and the Discords when that first came out. That was like some of the biggest news in a long time, especially because it just was so unexpected, you know, a little bit even different than, like, you know, when the first Forsaken trailer started coming out. That was great also. But yeah, that was definitely unexpected.
It was fun. Or it would be fun. I would like it. That, and I have hopes and fears for Bungie and Destiny going forward from here, with the split from Activision and all those things that kind of go into that. I'd like to see them do well, not fail, because it's a fairly precarious situation that could go either way.
For sure, for sure. And I'm not too worried that there will be any huge, what's the word I'm looking for, like a fall off, like where it gets worse and worse. I mean, I feel like they have potential to get better. But it does bring up an interesting topic too, kind of in the news this week with a few people leaving. And again, those departures don't mean anything concerning to me. But at the same point, sometimes people speculate that, well, they were both in the PvP group, and there's been some news articles about how should Destiny bring its focus to be? Anywhere from, should it be a monthly paying game to a free-to-play game to a game that's only PvE or a game that's only PvP? Or should it stay exactly how it is with everything? I would think most people would say that would be the default position. Although there could be, and a great way to keep it, although there could be an argument when you try to do too much, you can't be great at everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I've had a lot of thoughts about this myself. I don't know if anyone else has any opinions which way Destiny should go.
Jack of all trades and master of none is what came to mind when you said that. I read the article you posted about the PvP going away because, like you said, two people that
well, to
were,
be clear, it's not, no one's saying it's going away, but that could be a
theory. That was the theory. I think it was like Paul Tassi, I think, that wrote the article. Was that correct?
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
So you had two people that just left recently that were responsible for balancing the sandbox for PvP primarily. They were the sandbox designers or whatnot. That was kind of their main focus. And I could see where that theory would arise, but really in any business, you're going to have people that are going to come and go. And then it's up for that business to kind of pick up and move on. The hope is that they're going to hire somebody else, or there's somebody else on the team already that they have in mind, or maybe they even have plans of where they're going to take it. And at the end of the day, I think from my thought process in it is maybe there was a point reached. Maybe they can use it at this opportunity to change things up a little bit. New minds come in, they have different thoughts, and something magical could come out of it. Just a thought. Doesn't mean that's going to happen, but you know, hopefully they can turn these people leaving into a positive. Maybe it can be a positive situation overall for the community, for the game, the future of Destiny in general.
Yeah. I assume, Link, you would want to see both continue strong
PvP. Yeah, I have a hard time believing that Destiny without PvP, I mean, no, let me rephrase that. I don't want to say that it can't make it without PvP, but I mean, you know, Destiny's a Bungie, you know, and that's kind of their bread and butter. I mean, they're the Halo guys, or, you know, that's, and realistically, I mean, I would play it without PvP, but, you know, I actually said something about this, I think, a little bit yesterday as we were just playing and talking, is that, you know, PvP is a mode where, you know, well, let me rephrase, PvE, you know, every nightfall, every raid, you know, there's a cheese, there's a formula that you can go through and follow and use to essentially to beat anything like that, right? So, because it's AI, it's programmed, it's that's all there is to it ultimately. I mean, it, as complicated as you make it, unless you're getting into hardcore, you know, chess bots or something, it's, you know, it's just, it's inherently beatable. Whereas PvP, you're playing other players and there's no accounting for what a person's going to do. Even no matter how good you are, when you start to get it like kind of the chess match level of the highest tier one PvP guys, there's not quite a good comparison between the two. And then there's the whole thing of just self-improvement and getting better. You know, obviously you could do that either way, but pairing yourself against another person is a different kind of test and competition. And, you know, it's not for everybody, obviously, and that's fine. But for me, and I know for a lot of the people that play Destiny, especially, you know, or Destiny PvP especially, that's a big part of it, is, you know, testing yourself and your ability to work together as a group to beat another group of people doing the same thing.
You're totally right on the PvP. And even though, for reasons, I don't enjoy PvP as much as PvE, I would never say that PvP should go away from the game. I just wonder, like, in this thought theory experiment, you know, could it be a thing where the game, when it does try to focus on too many things, now, it's not like that can't happen either successfully. If the studio is large enough and they have resources, then why not, right? And
right.
I'm trying to think back in Destiny 1 when everyone was saying PvP was so good. I mean, there could be some argument the PvP was lacking at the time, although I still had fun. I did the raids.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I do say, like, there's a chance that if you try to do everything, whatever one is doing really good, the other one may ebb down a little bit. And if they were to go to PvE only, selfishly for myself, I'd be fine with that. But I hope whatever way they go, it continues to grow and do better.
Yeah,
I do know that a lot of people have already left the game because they felt like the PvP is not in a state they want. And I really wonder, can it get there with both? So the guys that really love the competitive PvP, you almost have to just be in games like Overwatch or whatever, where that it only focuses on that. So will there ever be anything that gets them back? You know, they say trials will get them back. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. So we'll just have to see how it all plays out.
Right. The one thing that we don't want to see, or for me, we mentioned earlier on, is the fact the pay per month model of Destiny. Mm-hmm. I hope it never goes to that. That is one reason why I did not get into Warcraft or WoW. It was just because it's, you pay that monthly, and then if you don't play it, you're SOL. You paid for it for the month and didn't play it. Or you let it lapse, and then you have to pay for it if you want to go back. I like the fact that they just charge the one upfront fee. You pay for it. You can play it on and off throughout the year as you please. Some people like it. Some people don't. I'm happy with it. It doesn't bother me any. The other thing to keep in mind, we're talking a lot about PvP, is the way Destiny 1 was in year 3 at the end when it was Rise of Iron. That is a PvP after 3 years of tuning. We're not into 3 years of tuning yet. We barely got any tuning in the PvP in year 1. We've been getting more tuning in PvP in year two of Destiny 2. So I think it's heading in the right place for me. I like it for the occasional time that I play it. Just my opinion, right or wrong or indifferent.
Yeah, I have a feeling, Link, you want to say something about that.
Well, okay, yeah.
I did not play through
all of year one, so I can't speak to the tuning in year one. So I'm not going to argue a point there. I will say, though, that as far as the tuning to PvP within year two, there's been two major sandbox updates within that time, and that's when Forsaken launched and with the Season of the Drifter. There have been some small tuning patches since then, or in between, rather. But really, I mean, that's one thing I was going to say, too, is that one of the things I think that's really causing people to leave Destiny on the PvP side is not so much that the PvP is not where they want it. Obviously, there's some people leaving just for that reason. I think at least as much of that is because the PvP community feels ignored. They are not getting mentioned in TWABs and patch notes more than platitudes and, you know, we're working on it, we're working on it. Well, you know, you're not really showing them anything, though. And I'm not saying that, because I don't necessarily feel this way entirely. This is not entirely my opinion. I'm kind of speaking more for that community because I do hear it some on the PvP side of things. I've talked to a couple of people within the Derp community and then some of the podcasts and separate things like that with like Crucible Radio and Massive Breakdowns. They're kind of more PvP focused. I think that's a large part of it, is that the PvP community feels largely ignored. And part of it boils down in my personal, this is where my opinion comes in, I think more. Part of it boils down to you can't balance a game like Destiny for PvP and still have fun PvE, because then you get year one Destiny 2. Ultimately, that was the most balanced Destiny's PvP has ever been. It was very balanced in the sort of competitive PvP side of things as far as that goes. But it wasn't fun. You know, balance isn't necessarily fun, and that's a big part of, I think, what Bungie needs to figure out is how to make it reasonably, you know, the happy medium between balanced and broken. You know, it's got to be somewhere in the middle so that it can be fun but not painful. I don't disagree with your general assessment of where PvP is now. I think that PvP is largely in a pretty good place, honestly. I feel like the changes to shotguns were a good thing. Even though I had just figured out how to play with them semi-effectively.
Right.
And because it's added a lot more variety to the sandbox in PvP. You see a lot fewer shotguns, a lot more fusion rifles. You know, it's just...
See Telesto.
They have a very... Yeah, you still see Telesto. You still see One-Eyed Mask. I even still see Nova Warp occasionally, although I even die to it occasionally.
I did see that the other day, too. It was kind of funny.
But, you know, and here's my ultimate... I guess the thing is Bungie has a very, very difficult task in front of them, and I do not envy them. I respect what they're doing and trying to do. I worry that the way they're going about it and their typical tendency towards secrecy may end up causing them more harm than otherwise.
Right.
And that's my, the end of my soapbox rant, and I'll stop. I'm sorry.
That's
you're great, fine.
Great opinions.
You disagree with me?
Fairly opinionated.
No, I'm just kidding.
we never having different opinions on this podcast, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's nice to get other perspectives is the big thing, because as humans, we're always limited to what we see and interpret it. And a lot of times we miss out on some of the like finite details that some other people might see. And the same goes for everybody, really. So it's always good to have a different assessment of it, and we do appreciate that.
Yeah, well, I would like to be more of a PvP guy than I am. A lot of that's kind of gone away for me because I don't blame Destiny for it, because I get it with the other games too. So, but I have a hard time not getting tilted and salty right now. So I try to do less PvP than I used to, because it's not fun at that point. But that's not their fault in that case. That's on me.
Right.
But I do still kind of keep my ear open on that side of the Destiny world, because I do like PvP as a general, and I try to keep, you know, I try to keep as much of a broad perspective on things as I can. So
how did you feel about Iron Banner this week? I felt like I enjoyed it a little bit more, and I even feel like, if I had to guess, the community kind of hopped in it more this time around.
Yeah, I think that at the beginning, a lot of people were more into it. I feel like the Iron Burden had a lot of people intrigued. The consumable that turns your light or power down. And of course, the collectors want the Wise and Rebuke or Fusion Rifle Vubers. Those guys, they want a Wise and Rebuke, whatever. You know, that in itself was kind of a semi-miss, personally, but that's different. I feel like they made the bounties a whole lot more achievable, and it doesn't take a full week to grind out the bounties on one character now, which is great. So you can do, if you have all three characters, you can do all three relatively easily within about, I'd say, within a week you could do it. You know, my Hunter I did in one day, but I also was off work sick that day and I just played a lot more.
Yeah.
I played a good bit with last night with Helios and got, I think, three of the bounties done on my Titan, which is saying a lot anyway because I don't move well as a Titan. So I just run really fast and try to hit shoulder slam people and I'm not good at it.
At least you played Titan.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm excited to hear that.
No, yeah, I do enjoy playing all three classes. I like to give Titans I like to give them a hard time, but you know, it's it's kind of the thing too. Is like there's a lot of PvE game modes where I love having a Titan around. There's so many useful things that Titans can do, and Bungie's done a good job with that. I enjoy playing the Hunter the most, and probably the Warlock next. After that, but I do enjoy playing my Titan. It's just that I don't have my Warlock up to 50 yet.
Well, yeah, you were speaking about, they had the bounties in Iron Banner, and I just wanted to mention on that real quick, and there was reasons, you know, the double Valor and...
Oh, yeah.
And Exotic Quests, I was still working on Thorn, and the armor sets were kind of cool this time around. So there was multiple reasons to run Iron Banner, which I think if anything, even this was like a 10% plus over last time. That was a definite win for Bungie to get Iron Banner a little more popular this time around.
Yeah, and yeah, good timing for Thorn Quest because it gave an opportunity where you didn't have to do 500 kills in standard quick play. It was just the normal 200 with a void for the Thorn Quest. So it definitely sped up that progress. I know, Kingsley, you got it. I got it. Link, you got it already, correct?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Awesome. And that final strike for Thorn, by the way, was a little bit rough.
that was something else. I've seen a lot of, I don't want to say complaints, a lot of, what's the word I'm looking for? People trying to commiserate.
commiserate about how it was. It was perfect though. I believe like that was a pinnacle high level, old school Nightfall pinnacle activity type thing. And
yeah, I agree.
I ran it with an LFHE group and they didn't even have mics and we took us about six times before we passed it at the end, but I just thought it was brilliant. I mean, not like so hard that only 1% passes it, but not so easy that it's like, okay, what are we doing this for? It was pretty good.
It's definitely not a solo activity. You definitely need a group to do it, which is nice.
I heard you can, they do have a video of someone soloing it, but
it's been done. Wait, and there's always going to be those people, but
I stand corrected for 90% of the people out there. It's hard to solo. 99%.
For sure. Yeah. That was good times. Sin, what else is good this week? Anything else, that I'm missing here in the Destiny verse?
No, covered a lot. The raids, I got my second clearance. Scourge of the Past. I got my first, really, shout out to Bo Solaris. I jumped in. They were doing carries on a Thursday, and it was one of the quickest raids I've ever done. But they do that multiple times on Thursdays every week, so they had their rhythm down and filling in. I learned, like you said earlier, when you learned, you learned a great deal from your LFG group, but I learned a great deal from them. I know we had that Rocky one that we completed, but we had three people that had their first completion during that, that raid one. So that was nice. And, you know, it's getting the rhythm down is the big thing with any of these raids. Once you get the rhythm down for majority of the team, it goes quicker and quicker each time. Outside of that, yeah, I did learn that with Dredgen title, which was one of the other titles I'm chasing right now. Is that I did hear the three resets for the items don't have to be all in the same season.
Nope. Yeah.
So
you're super close to that now, right?
Yes. I'm halfway to my third reset my third total reset. So that'll be my second awesome. Title. Super happy to get that. And chasing a couple other ones that I want, but I've been casually doing them, such as Cursebreaker. And I'd like to do the Blacksmith one.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe Reckoner as I get more and more items from Tier 3 now that I'm into that boat. But that's gonna take a little bit of time to do as well. So that'll probably happen over the next few months or so as I get more items off that bucket completed. I'll probably start working on that a little bit more like I did with Wayfair. I got super close and then it was like grind time to get the last few pieces. But yeah, and other than that, I think that's pretty well it. It covered a lot. Yeah. Our week, a few things, and yeah. No, I'm happy.
Link, it was a pleasure. Anything else you'd like to add about your hopes and dreams in Destiny?
Well, I will say I really like the title system that they've done, other than the RNG base of some of them and the way it's been, which they're dealing with already. So, you know, it is what it is. Hopefully that's going to be better from now on, but thanks for having me, guys.
Oh, for sure. And we'll gladly have you back again. It's been a pleasure. It's nice having people in the community that we play with, and other guests will have at times where we may not be able to play with them specifically in the game, but like to hear about what everyone's up to. Now, you have ways that people can contact you on Twitter, Twitch, anything like that?
Yeah, I'm on most of the places one way or another. Try to have quote unquote brand identity, but you know, invariably there's going to be somebody who's got that version of it or whatever. So Twitter, it's at LinkSend, I believe 2 underscores, or maybe that was Twitch. Sorry. yeah, okay. Twitch and Twitter. That's probably the main things. Yeah, but it's at LinkSend. I think I have to have 2 underscores in those, and that's it otherwise.
And now the question is, do you remember your new branding going forward? What is the new name you're going to use?
We still don't know on that.
No. The one we coined earlier, he was like, I like that.
That is true.
That's a hard decision.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And then
that would be excellent.
Really, actually, to go on that just real quick, I have a couple different PSNs I've set up over time, just kind of like as alts or whatever. I have considered just going with switching to one of those. The reason I can't really do that is because I have those set up already. But I have come up with some good ones. I have McDino Fingers, which is fun.
Ooh.
And yeah, so I mean, that's my thing, is I like to collect PSNs, or people's PSNs at least, the ones that are funny, and then try to come up with my own. I have. Sorry?
Yeah, many, so that's great. And I was going to say, hopefully they should let us change soon too, for those of us who only have one. I mean, I was able to change mine in a beta program, and they kept saying it would be early this year when they would release it to the general public. So who knows what's going
on. Yeah, we just had another update without that too. Another system update. No changes to PSN, but that's okay. I've kind of come to grips with it. It's kind of like my actual first name. It's not my favorite name in the world, but it's what I got, and I'm used to it now.
Yeah, you just stick with it.
As long as you're not Felicia.
Yeah, I don't want to be Felicia. But if it was who I was, I would be me.
I would wear it as a badge of honor.
Yeah, like every gray hair I have.
Well, that's excellent. We'll put your contact in our show notes. And then, Sin, where can people find you?
Now, you can find me at Sin_media. That's Sin, C-Y-N, on Twitter. And on Twitch, at Sin Media. Those are the main two places that I lurk. Hang, tweet, DM, PM, DPs, TPs, all the good stuff.
I want to join that TP network. I hear it's pretty good. Yeah, and I'm Kingsley. Actually, Kingsley Mac is my gamer tag. And you can find me as Kingsley Mac on PlayStation and on Twitch. I stream occasionally, mostly when I raid. And on Twitter, though, I am MC Kingsley because I haven't been able to change that yet. And also, everyone, our website for the show is theguardianhub.com. And you can also find us on Twitter as The Guardian Hub. So, a great episode. Thanks to have you again, Link. And thanks, everyone, for listening. Until next time.